It always feels good to be back home, and I have considered this blessed place home. Someone who stays all the time at home, the word doesn't necessarily mean much to, but someone who is out in the world, out in the ocean, home is a very, very special thing. I feel so blessed to be with you this morning. You have been partners in the gospel since day one, and we cannot forget. 28 whole years, you have been there in spirit, in prayer, in letter, in phone call. This is a world. It means a world to us. We sang before, there's something about that name. Yes, there's something special about that name. And there are ways in which we can define this special nature of our Redeemer and Savior. But as we go through the Bible, we see quite often the deity and Satan to agree on some issues, and if they agree, this means the statement is true. Jesus himself says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place, another place." Satan, when Jesus is in the wilderness, says the very same thing. You bow down and worship me because I will give you all the kingdoms that have been given to me by someone. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Satan says, these kingdoms are of my world. So here we are. Both parties agree that this world is not my own, I'm just passing through, right? Don't we sing this? And we feel like there is a culture in the world. But we will talk about how God's culture, how God's nature overrides human culture. As David mentioned, I was a ship's navigating officer, third officer, second officer, first officer, chief officer, safety officer. And this job took me around the world, 86 countries. Name a place. I have been there, even to Guam, to Diego Garcia, from Cape Cod to Cape Fear, to the Marianas, Gulf Coast, East Coast, Arctic Coast, St. Lawrence River, Duluth, the lakes, Australia. Many cultures. Well, I don't think so. It's just one culture. Different recipes, yes. Different currency, yes. Different language, yes. But same fear, same tear, same heartache, same size, same spirit of unbelief, mistrust, same plans, same goals, same. Paul comes to Athens, Acts 17, and he mentioned this, that we are descendants of Adam and Eve, so in a way we are related. That's why our blood is okay from one to the other to be infused. And since we have the same parents, our culture looks like one. Of course, he shares with them that he is the only judge who will judge the world. And Paul mentions something quoting two Greek poets. We are his offspring. Why does he say we are their offspring, the 12 Olympian gods, but says his offspring. And this is, of course, a poet by the name Aratus, A-R-A-T-U-S, in his work Phenomena, Phenomenon One, Phenomena Many. And then he says, in him we live and move and have our being. Why doesn't he say, in them, gods, we live and move and have our being, but says, in him. Did they know the one God? Socrates was put to death for this very reason. He was teaching the young ones new demons. Demon in Koine Greek means God. In him, in one. And the altar to one unknown God, not to unknown gods. So we see that there was a desire since day one for the people to have one culture. Where do we see this? Where else? In the Bible. Genesis 11, 4 and 9 says, then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down. Why us? Why plural? Let us make men, huh? Us. Why us? Why? The Trinity is there, present, since day one. Let us. In the book of Isaiah, who shall we send and who will go to preach for? For us. The Trinity is there. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them all over the face of the whole earth. In depth, we belong to the same culture. That's what I have witnessed. I try to protect myself. My gain is what I fight for. And I reason my actions that, well, I did this because of this. I'm trying to reason sometimes the unreasonable. And quite often we stumble and we fall. And therefore we have sin and its byproduct, which is guilt. G-U-I-L-T. We will see that it's not the sin itself that hurts. It's the guilt that hurts. And we, the Bible says, have a guilty conscience. The Romans used to say that conscience is the voice of God in us. Conscientia est vox deorum in nobis, in us. But the conscience is guilty. Why? Because there is no God in there to cleanse it. All the history of mankind has been a history of redemption. Watch carefully in the Bible. Redeeming. To redeem from what? It's a history of salvation. To be saved from what? If there is no danger, you don't need a savior. Lifeguard is to guard the life of someone in, thank you, in danger. And also Paul says, lest we reach out and touch him and find him. My question has always been, wandering through the nations, have they sought God? Have they tried to touch God? To touch God means to be close to God. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Even if I touch his garment, I will be healed. But in order to touch, it means to be close to. You can touch through a remote control. You have to be there and feel. We reflect the migration of multitudes of people on earth. We say, well, we live dangerous and not very good days these days. The days on earth were never too good. They were asked, the Jews were asked to go to exile, 606, 597, 586, and they stayed there 70 years from 606 to 536 until King Cyrus, designated as Cyrus, my servant, the Bible says. He was not a Jew or a Christian either, but he's used from God to bring forth his plan. God has always worked through the nations in special ways, unseen ways. So Cyrus says, y'all get out of here, go home. Here's the money to build the wall and the temple. Yeah, speaking southern. Exactly. Y'all go back home. And they went home. Don't forget that 70 souls go to Egypt to buy wheat. And after 430 years, some scholars say 3.5 million, some say 5 million left. Movement. We, the Greeks and the Europeans, have been under the Ottoman, the Turkish Empire, 430 years, and things changed. But all this work for the good to them who love God. The problem with culture is that it cannot see itself as a culture, but sees itself as an explanation, as an expression of a right way to do things. We do it in this way because we know it's right. But the African does it in his way because he believes it's right. And we have seen this in the Bible. Each one did his own little thing because he believed or she believed that it was good to his or her eyes. But the Lord was not there. We can do things in the way we want, yes, but doesn't mean they benefit our soul or our spirit. There's another truth that God covers with his culture, his nature, all the blunders of the world, and so we have to come to God's culture. Let's call it culture. In fact, it's his nature. I'm very thankful through my pilgrimage in the Bible that God doesn't change. He was the same back then and today and tomorrow. Well, you may say, back then it was the Mosaic law. Yes. Now it's the law of grace. Yes. But it's the same God who loves and rewards, who loves them all and rewards them who love him. God's love is like the love of man to a woman. Do you know who a woman loves better? The man who has loved her first. She reflects his love. A woman loves her husband because he has loved her first. And Jesus has loved the church first while we were all his enemies. This is true culture. True way of expressing love. And now there's a battle. Adam sins. Satan is happy. He rejoices for his little victory, but then a cross will come and Jesus will win over Satan and declare his permanent, eternal victory. Now, the same God in the Bible, think about it, The same God who mixes all waters of the firmament from heaven and the fountains of the great deep, and he creates, he produces a flood. The very same God separates the sea years later for his own to leave planet Egypt, planet sin, and go back home. The very same God who has confused the languages of the people we mentioned in Babel, the very same God unites all people through the language of his word on the day of Pentecost. Each one understood the message in his language. See what happens? On the day of Pentecost, they all become one. And the Lord was adding every day, and 3,000 were baptized. It's the same God who chastises his people and takes them to the captivity to Babylon. The very same God brings them back. So we see a culture that overrides our cultures, our one and only culture. So we need to understand, what is this culture designated as God's culture? When you go to a ship and when you're going to work at the bridge, you need to know all equipment and all tools of the trade there. You have to be familiar. And we need to know how God acts through history. I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant, I have chosen you, and have not rejected you. Isaiah 41, verse 9. Do you feel like this? You were not a Jew. You were never a Jew, neither was I. We are all Japheth's children. If you go to the genealogies of Noah, Genesis chapter 10, you see the sons of Japheth. And there's a name, Jovan, J-O-V-A-N. The Ionians, what the Arabs call us, Yonan. And next to us, there's a name, M-A-D-A-I, Madai. These are the Medes and the Persians. White race. We were never Jews. But God calls us from the farthest corners of the world. From Anchorage to Santiago, and from Melbourne to London. One blood, one Savior, one cross, one baptism. That's why the Bible says, they will know that you are my disciples because of your love. God's culture unites. The world's culture divides. Well, we don't have this habit. How do you eat this food? We don't behave like this. But when we cry, well, we all cry the same way. When we have a chest pain from something we cannot resolve, the feeling is the same. When we try to do something better in our life, we all have the same agony. We are the same. Oh, language. Ask Paul. He had two passports, Jewish, Roman. He spoke Hebrew, Aramaic, Assyrian dialect. Of course, being a Roman citizen, he spoke Latin. Needless to say, he spoke Greek. He didn't want things to be all Greek to him. He was well-versed, yet he says, I have counted everything trash. If you count everything trash, Paul, you are left with nothing. Well, Jesus was left even without a place to rest, and they hang him on the cross. The refugees who have come to our doorstep have left everything behind, even dead children. They came to spare their own life. They are not immigrants. They are refugees. And guess what they need? They need a source of hope. That's where hope comes. We generate hope through the hope God has built in us. They need to find a place. Eleni lets them work, let them cook, let them buy the groceries, do this, to feel at home. She could, through the volunteers, very well do everything and tell them, you stay there till the time comes for you to receive your food. No, it's your place. And then they loosen up and they want to get to know more. In our days, when I went to the Whitesville Road School, and people of our age, and this is a fact, maybe you will recognize it as well. We obeyed to the form of doctrine taught, being taught to us. We didn't examine the one who taught us, if he's good, if he's a little sour off. We listened to the form of doctrine. We obeyed, we accepted the message, we got immersed, and then we went. Nowadays, it's not the same. The young ones, we don't do this. I have experienced it over and over again. Even through my own children, we have a 36-year-old son who lives in Miami and a 31-year-old daughter who lives in London. Do you know what their motto is? You want to teach me God's word? Yes. First, I want to see who you are inside out, to x-ray you, to see how do you breathe this God's love, and then I'll sit down and you open the page and teach me the Bible. Referring now to the refugees, it's not, come here, let me change you from a Muslim to a Christian. In fact, I play with them. When they say, we want to be like you. I said, why? You are a good Muslim. You love God. Stay like you are. Don't you want me to be a... No. This is the bait. But we want to be like you, like Mama Eleni. So there's something they see, and they want to be that same thing. Then comes chapter and verse. And when I see that they insist, like the judge and the woman who was asking and asking and asking, then we start a Bible study. Eleni does this with all ladies there. It is a very fragile, a very sensitive field. Many children, they trust us by giving their children. We can teach them, we could teach them about Buddha. They are there the entire day. Yet, they believe we reflect God's love to some extent. So God's culture overrides human culture. And though he instructs the nations through his prophets, his apostles through his son, the very same God judges the world based on what their response was. They say that Calvin did not phrase it that well, predestination and foreordination. I've studied this in depth, and I have seen, and I want to share this with you. We see an arc, and I'm sorry, an arch. We live in this finite world where we have a beginning and an end, 1960-something to 2000-something. As we are this side, we can read come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Some say, no, I don't care, and they go. Some go, approach in their life this arch. And when they find themselves right underneath the arch, that point when the spirit separates from the body, at the point of departing, they find themselves in timelessness at the other side of the arch. And guess what they read? Them who he called, he predestined. Then who he predestined, he received. Them who he received, he glorified. You can see that from this side. It is a culture that calls you to a higher ground where you don't have five senses, but you can see everything and enjoy everything. These values that are common to you and to me, these weary people in the Middle East could not enjoy. Even the Kurdish, who are not Muslim in a way, they are the rebels of Muslims. The Muslims don't like them. The Arabs, Syrian Arabs, Syrian Kurdish, Iraqi Arabs, Iraqi Kurdish. But here, it's free, it's called Europe, we can say anything we want to. Tell me more about this Jesus I knew, because my Bible, their Bible, I mean the Quran, has a writing, Jesus, son of Mary, one day by appointment of the Father, will judge in righteousness the world. I like that. What just Paul said in Athens. He has appointed a day through which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man he has chosen. And for this he gave a proof, having raised him from the dead. Now, when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some sneered, others said, yeah, y'all come back now, you hear? But we know the statement is true. And these weary souls want to take it. A good number of them have made their way to Europe, to Portugal, to Spain, to Ireland, to Lithuania, to England, to Belgium, to France. But they take Jesus with them and they start a new life. And there is a connection and a communication, at least with Mama Eleni. Almost every day, how is the church, Mama? We miss you. Everyone who has drunk water at the Omonia Church will one day come back, is what they say, to God's glory. It's not an easy thing. But I'm amazed at the fact that God can change lives. If he changed Paul's life, a terrorist, he can change your life, my life. He can change our lives. I remember when the years back then, when I met my wife and she asked me, a second generation Christian at the church in Greece, and she says, do you know Jesus? I said, of course I know Jesus. I'm Greek. I'm Greek nation, Orthodox. What are you talking about? I know Jesus. And then she went on and she says, have you met Jesus? I said, Jesus died 20 centuries ago. How can I meet him? I was untold. I didn't know what she meant. Have you met Jesus? I thought I did. I thought I had met Jesus, but I had not. Then comes a day when God tells you, leave the captainship and seamanship and world travel and oil business on the ships, and go learn more about me. And what you learn, go share with others. 28 whole years. A blessing after another, day after day. God's culture covers our culture. All empires, let me share this with you. I'm also a U.S. citizen, like we all are. I have dual citizenship. All empires, I have learned, have expiry date. All. 50 out of 10. All. Assyrians, Chaldeans, Babylonians, Elamites, Egyptians, Alexander the Great, Rome, Byzantine Empire, Ottoman Empire, name it, you name it, comes and goes. Only God's word stays forever, and that is why we should learn his culture. It's a culture that gives freedom. It's a culture that goes beyond recipes and hatred and likes or dislikes. My way, their way. We are the West, he is in the East. We are all one. We need a Savior. Before Jesus came on earth, there was a worldwide thirst for someone to redeem the world. They didn't know who or how, but the ones who knew exactly, knew that that would be Jesus to come. And now, when we see all these hundreds of weary souls come to us, what do we say? I'm sorry, you are Muslim, I'm a Christian, I have nothing to do with you. Some voices in Europe say, well, the Muslims will come and saturate the European style, and we will lose our identity, and we don't like that. I said, yes. How sure are you about that? He says, well, I don't know, but I'm afraid. I said, 70 souls went to Egypt to buy wheat. 430 years later, they came out. Did they turn to be pagans like the Egyptians? No. 430 years, the Greeks were under the Muslim, the Turkish rule. Did we turn into Muslims? No. Perfect love casts out fear. You came to my door. Let me share God's truth. And in the situation God has brought you in, weary, with nothing, I know what he will do. He will open your heart wide, wide open. And you accept it. And you take it. And you feel the happiness. This is what this ministry is all about, sharing God's love to man from every tongue, from every nation. Or do we forget that up there at the marriage, that the marriage of the Lamb, there is a feast from every and every and every tongue, tribe, nation, cultural background, from every. We will see Paul, and Paul was not a Greek. We'll see Solomon. We'll see David. We'll see Peter. We'll see the Greek doctor, Luke. Different perspective, a unifying perspective, God's culture. And if among us there's a soul with today who hasn't seen or felt the warmth of Jesus in his life. Yes, there is a cost. Salvation is free. Discipleship has a cost. I agree. But it's worth trying and a great blessing to live and be in it. Let's all stand and sing.